Hello, my name is Eric Bennett. I am a senior lead program manager for the Windows Phone imaging pipeline and also extensibility. Today I'm going to be talking about building lenses for the Windows Phone 8 camera. And hopefully by now you've had an opportunity to check out lenses and what they can do. But I'm hoping to convince you today that it's worthwhile taking a look at lenses and what's possible due to the new workflows that we bring and the ways that people can get into your lens from the main capture experience and can really find your lens over and over again and create new types of media that are much more than just photos, and to visit them and to go back into your application time and time again through the camera roll. So there's very much advantages to thinking about lenses in addition to just photography on the platform. In this talk, I'm going to begin by discussing the Windows Phone 8 camera and some of what we think the camera is really about on the platform. I'm then going to spend the bulk of the talk on building a lens. What does it mean in order to make an app into a lens and all the things that you should be considering when doing so? I'll then talk about the new camera APIs that we have available in Windows Phone 8, and then close to talk about some operating system extensibility points that are focused on sharing and editing. Now, what I'd like to do to begin is to jump right into a demo to demonstrate some of the things that I'm going to be talking about today. So let me go open up my camera here. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to start up the camera just like I would before by pressing the camera button. And if you've had a chance to play around with the Windows Phone camera, you'll know that, well, it looks a lot like it did before. The general interface is pretty much the same. You'll notice that the zoom buttons are gone, now replaced with a pinch and zoom metaphor. And mostly what I'm going to be talking about today is the button that's in the lower right-hand corner, the one that's got little arrows attached to it. And if I tap that, it brings up the lens picker. This lets me see all of the lenses that are installed on the device. And the one that I want to talk about today is PhotoSynth, because it's something that offers a substantively different experience than the built-in camera. The built-in camera is very much about a point-and-shoot experience, whereas PhotoSynth is about creating panoramas. So basically, you'll notice that it jumps me right into a viewfinder-based experience. And if I hold this up and tap, I'm going to capture a quick little panorama in here. Well, that's good enough. So you'll notice that experience was very much not the built-in camera experience. It had lots of different UX elements on it. It had just a general user interface difference in that I was turning the camera, I wasn't pressing the shutter button. This is something that really requires that in order to have achieve what the application needs to do. And you'll notice that it also creates a piece of media here, this panorama that is explorable. It's actually, if I had taken the time, I can go 360 degrees around, and this application will let me explore inside of that. Now, if you create something like this, the problem is, well, a photo, maybe it just doesn't quite do it justice, because there's this experience of going around and exploring this. So if you go and you put it on the camera roll, and I'll pull up the camera roll right here, and you'll see I've got a few photos in here. I can go in and I can tap on this photo that I just took. And something that's new with Windows Phone 8 is the fact that it says the application I was captured with. These photos were captured with the built-in camera, and that one with PhotoSynth, and this one with PhotoSynth as well. And I can take one of them, this is one I captured earlier, and go down here and tap on the three dots and say, open in PhotoSynth. And it's going to go into its internal store, and it's going to pull up an interactive experience that I went from the camera roll, which was just a JPEG. It's a JPEG like you normally have, but I've jumped from a JPEG into an interactive experience. And I'll do that again with the piece of panorama that I captured just a moment ago by saying open in PhotoSynth. And just a moment later, we've gone from a JPEG representation into an experience inside of that lens that allows me to take advantage of whatever that particular capture experience was and what it's optimized for. This is what we call rich media. It's something more than just a photo. So jumping back to the presentation here, what I want to stress is that the Windows Phone 8 camera is, it's the everyday camera solution. You press that shutter button or you launch the camera from the lens picker, and it is going to give you fast pocket-to-picture times. It's going to give you a dedicated button with point-and-shoot experiences. It's going to take a great photo or a great video every time. That's what it's for. But it doesn't do anything that's outside of taking a photo or a video. And that's really where lenses come in, because they're about adding new experiences that need dedicated UX associated with them. So when you tap on that lens picker button, you'll get a screen that looks like this. And these are lens apps that are available through the store. And they're enumerated here in this list in alphabetical order. And you'll see these in the camera when you pull up this menu. You also see them, as we saw before, as the captured by inside of the camera roll. And we look at these things as offering create, view, and edit functionality for photos and rich media. But also, don't let that limit your thinking, because we also consider something like the Bing application that does barcode recognition. That's also a lens. It's a lens because it's a viewfinder-driven experience. Of course, inside of these, you can have access to the new camera APIs I'll talk about later, and the new extensibility points. And as I mentioned, that these are available through the store. And in fact, if you look on the screen, you'll see that it says, find more lenses. This is because we mark them specifically when they're taken into the store. And we can do a query just for popular lenses, for instance, that are on the store. So this is a way for users, in order to add more camera functionality very easily from within the camera application itself, without having to think about that as a separate action. So I guess the thesis of what I'm saying here is that if you were thinking about a camera app before on the platform, think about it as a lens. And think about the workflows that I'm going to discuss and the options that are available as a lens of really allowing you to do that much more on the platform. And it's something that's very unique to the Windows Phone 8 experience. So what I'd like to do now is jump into more of the details of what makes a lens a lens. The workflow is pretty straightforward. You go from the built-in camera, which is, again, started with the hardware button, or from the camera app. You tap the lens picker. You go into this view on the screen of everything that's available. And once you select one, you go into a horizontal view. Horizontal viewfinder, because we want to go horizontal viewfinder to create a consistent experience for users. And from that point, it's an application. You can have what you want or what is appropriate for your application from workflow from that point forward. I'll talk about many suggestions and recommendations we have. But at that point, it's your application. And I would note that one important thing is that when you're in the viewfinder experience of a lens, the navigation should be that the back button takes you back to the built-in camera on the device. This is something for consistency's sake that makes sense and allows the user maybe even to think about using multiple lenses within the same session. So I've talked about this viewfinder entry point and the fact that it should be in the landscape mode. And certainly, we recommend that you have a UX flow that fits our criteria. But what makes a lens is really simply just an extension that appears in the wm-appmanifest.xml file. I'll show you what that is in a moment. But that's really the differentiating factor. When you go and set one of these things up in Visual Studio, you start it just like you're building any other application on the platform. Of course, only lenses get this rich media capability. We offer specific custom lens tile iconography. So if in that picker that you want to have a special icon that's very much about your application, you can do that. And that's important, because if you want to use the live tile functionality for the main home screen or the start screen, then this allows you to always have a clear, you know, this is my app view inside of the lens picker as well. So the user, it's very task-driven inside of that mode. And it's been talked about in other sessions, and I won't cover here, is the fact that this is a Windows Phone 8 app in that it is XAML with C# for building your UI. In fact, you can do the entire thing in that form, but you also have access to C++, which can be extremely useful if you have, for instance, legacy imaging libraries that you want to use as part of your application. As I mentioned, the wmappmanifest.xml file is central to this, and in fact, it's central to many of the things that I'm talking about today. And in this case, adding the Camera Capture App extension will cause your application to become a lens. It'll appear in that list, and basically we'll take care of the work. The launching from the camera picker into your app, when it comes from that screen, will come with a viewfinder launch text inside of the deep link URI that you get. So this allows you to have a different entry point in your application from the app list than, for instance, from the lens picker. Lens picker always goes to a viewfinder, but you might not want to have that for the app list. Maybe that, for instance, launches into a gallery view of some sort. As I mentioned, we have specific lens iconography, and these are the sizes here. All of this information is on MSDN. We have a different icon set, or we have icon sizes here that are specific for each resolution because we believe that getting super crisp icons is really important for people who are developing photography apps that are very much about imaging. This notion of rich media, of having additional content associated with information that is stored in the camera roll, is really a big part of the lens story. And I usually say, well, you know, just remember that lenses can capture more than just JPEGs. The photosynth example that I showed earlier of interactive panorama capture is a very good example to think about how you create something and then tie all the pieces together with the camera roll and the application itself. But how does this actually work? Well, what's going to happen behind the scenes is, first off, you would register your application with the Photos Rich Media Edit extension that I show at the bottom. And again, there's more information on that on MSDN, including the GUID that you need in order to enable that. When the app is launched, it will come along with the Rich Media Edit text inside of that deep link URI and a file token for identification. So you think about it from a development standpoint that you register your apps. Your app says everything that I'm going to write into the camera roll is going to be rich media. And when I say save picture to camera roll, using the same APIs that have existed before, that it will just appear with that text captured by Contoso here, for instance, in the camera roll. And when you click on it, the application will receive this deep link URI and the rich media edit functionality. Now, the idea would be that your application at the time it saved that, saved something into its local folder that it would be able to restore at that time as matched up with that token that it received. So basically, in the case of the Photosynth, that what's happening here is it stitches together the panorama, it saves all that information about that immersive experience into a location inside of the local folder, then it flattens it, puts a JPEG into the camera roll. That JPEG is automatically by the operating system associated with a link, and then when the user says open in Photosynth, it goes through and it opens up that piece of media that was in its local folder. Therefore, we get a really nice experience, and it's low overhead from a development standpoint because we're handling these tokens and handing them off so that you can associate your local media with that. So think about panoramas as just one example of what you could do with this. Another example I like is non-destructive image editing. Imagine that you want to apply a cool old-time style filter to an image, but you don't know which one of the 30 that you have that you want to apply. Well, you could pick one at the time of capture, save it to the camera roll, and then take the original image that you had, the one that hadn't had all the filtering applied to it, and go stick that in the local folder. Then when the user goes in and they see the image in their camera roll and they open it up using the open in old time photo application, that they'll be granted a edit experience at that point. So in that case, it's edit, not view. And they can go in and change the filter that was applied. This reinforces the notion that the camera roll on the device actually is a camera roll for many different applications on the phone. And we want the user to think about having the camera roll really be the repository of all this information and not having to think about specific apps, but having to think about just sort of this great collection of media and experiences that they have. And the workflow for a user is very straightforward. You'd say the three dots, open in application, and bam, they're in. Now, in the course of building lenses, we've built in a great deal of flexibility into the system. And as I mentioned, you can build a workflow that's specific to your application. But most lenses actually will do well in order to stick to some guidelines that we've come up with. These guidelines are about easy user flow, about the user understanding where they are in this environment where they start out in the main camera application and then go into a lens and want to go back again. How you think about camera rolls inside of that, how you think about the device camera roll as really being the central camera roll. All of these things we've spent a great deal of time thinking about, and we wanted to pass this knowledge along so that the lenses that you build can be very intuitive to users, because when you have general design paradigms that are used across the board, it's very easy for someone to download a lens and then to immediately understand how the workflow of that should be. If they're all different, that doesn't work so well, because then they find it confusing as to how to get around. So there is a document up on MSDN now. It's the Lens Design Guidelines. I highly suggest reading that and following that as much as possible. Some of the things, just to call out a few highlights, a consistent capture experience is essential. That having having the controls, so sort of the buttons that you see on the screen, gestures that the user might use, like swiping to the left in order to check out things that they've already captured, and animations. Like one animation we really like is the going to the left after you capture. So it pops up on the screen and slides off to the left. So we ask that you do that. We also ask that you follow certain guidelines for the in-lens camera roll. If you choose to have a camera roll of some sort to show media you've captured with the device, if your application is just about JPEGs and you don't need that rich media capability, we ask that you only show things that were captured in that session. A perfect example of this is what we do ourselves at Microsoft with the above lock Windows camera. We just show the things you captured in that session. And we found this is a really much easier thing for users to pick up in an app where you have a centralized camera roll on the device. If you do have rich media on the device, like Photosynth, we ask that you enumerate that list based off of the contents of your local folder as opposed to using the camera roll for that. This allows for easier management, and it makes a lot of sense once you've had a chance to play around with it. And it's why I encourage you after the session to take a look at it, and maybe even if you're developing something, take a look at it halfway through and say, oh, now I get why they thought that was an important thing to talk about. I talked about app flow and buttons, and I also there's also a notion of when you go into an edit mode, the way that your application should flow from that in order to allow the user in order to round trip nicely into and out of the application. So what I'd like to do now is do a quick walkthrough of some of the pieces that make a lens a lens, and then we'll do more of the coding part of this later on in the presentation. So let me pop over to Visual Studio here. So basically what I've done is I've put together a very basic camera application. Essentially, it is a canvas that sits in the middle of this view. It has a viewfinder brush, I call it, associated with it. So it's a video brush that is tied to that. It's just declared in the XAML. And that's something that I'll use later in order to paint onto this surface. But really, that is the full extent of UI that I have built for this application. The key file, as I mentioned, for a lot of things that we do is the wm@manifest.xml. So if you open this up and just pop over to capabilities, the important ones for building a lens app are the ISV camera, of course, and the IDCAP media lib photo in order to be able to write things to the camera roll. The other ones are just turned on by default when you create a new project. In the requirements, if you need the front or rear camera, of course, you'll want to mark that as well for the marketplace. I'm going to close this, and then I'm going to open up the exact same file in the code editor so you can see what's in here. And specifically, what I want to call out is this line, or these lines right here. The first one, which is marked as Camera Capture App, is actually what enables this in order to become a lens. So just putting this line in there is what you need for that. And if your lens does something more than capturing a JPEG, then you would want to put this photos rich media edit in, and that lights up the rich media functionality. And I would say if you're, you know, definitely I want you to put that in there. If your application, though, just captures JPEGs, there's probably no reason in order to link this together because it's not essential for those scenarios. So the next thing that I want to point out is over here in my assets folder, you'll notice that there are three files here, lens.screen, 720, WVGA, and WXVGA. And if I kind of mouse over, it's probably hard to see on the screen here, but these are transparent pings, and this allows us to overlay that on top of the accent color in the lens picker if that's something that you want to have. Otherwise, you can just make this whatever picture you want at the resolutions that I showed before. I'll hop over to the app.xaml.cs here, and if I scroll down here, you'll notice that inside of the initialize phone application method, I've added this line here, rootframe.urimapper equals lensurimapper. And there's already examples on MSDN of how to use urimappers in order to choose the initial view of your application. In this particular case, I've got some code at the bottom of this that looks for rich media edit. But for the most part, you can use example code that's on MSDN in order to route based off of those keywords I discussed before. The last thing is, actually I've gone through the list here, so let me jump back to the presentation. And really, those are the key pieces in order to make it a lens. There's really not that many complications associated with making this possible. So that's kind of building the overall app structure. What I want to talk about now is actually the guts of your application and what's possible in Windows Phone 8. So on Windows Phone 8, we're introducing a number of new Windows Runtime Camera APIs. And the managed APIs from 7.5 are still there, but we think that there's some compelling reasons in order to switch over to the new APIs. Primarily, it's about deeper sensor control that's present across multiple devices in the Windows Phone family. It's about this new notion of a capture sequence, which is a high-performance way in order to grab a frame off of the camera sensor. And it's about better access to preview and video streams coming off of the camera. This is all built now because it's Windows Phone 8. We're building this on top of a media core. A media foundation core. And as I mentioned earlier, that because we have access to C++ code, if you have imaging libraries already, you can use them inside of this. So we think there's a lot of good reasons in order to build a Windows Phone 8-based camera or imaging application. Here's a quick overview look at what the API is. It's all inside of this windows.phone.media.capture, at least the new parts are. There is a iCamera capture device, which really, the two things you would use from that are photo capture device and audio video capture device. So they share common ways in which you instantiate these, but the photo capture device is pretty much as the name says. It's about capturing photos, and audio video capture device is about capturing encoded video streams. Photo capture device is what you would use to configure the camera in order to make it do what you want it to do, in order to send it commands. And then what you do is you instantiate a camera capture sequence from a photo capture device. And this is what I'll be talking about later, and it's kind of the progression of things that you would do in order to quickly grab images off of the sensor. And the data from that is returned in the form of a camera capture frame. There's a number of native APIs that you can get at as well for high-speed access to data. I'm not going to talk about those here, but there's documentation on MSDN. And there's also three classes that are simply properties. They are all the different things that you can set on those photo capture and audio video capture devices. And if you look at the names, you'll see that the photo properties or known camera photo properties are things you can set on photo capture device, and the things that are general actually apply to anything from iCamera capture device. So if you're developing for a platform like Windows Phone, and obviously there's a number of devices that are made for Windows Phone, that it would be really nice if what you were building actually was consistent from device to device. And we've been thinking about this. And as such, our APIs actually have units associated with them. So these are things that we think photographers would be comfortable with, like exposure compensation measured in EV, exposure time measured in microseconds or specified in microseconds, ISO sensitivity, white balance in degrees Kelvin, and other things that are ranges that are queryable from the OS itself. So really, we're hoping that applications that are written for one device will map much easier to other devices due to the fact that we're standardizing these things. And that you would call set property on the photo capture device, and you can use these get supported property range for numeric ranges, or for the things that are enums, that you can use get supported property values in order to query what's supported. And if you look at the way these are set up, you'll actually see that because you have to specify sensor location when you ask, and that's either front or back, that these are things that might actually be different depending on which sensor you're talking about on the device. So we really have driven this down into a high level of granularity. The next thing I want to talk about are capture sequences. And this is really how you're going to get a picture off of the device. It's about high performance, and it's about high performance because we pre-specify what we're going to ask the camera to do before we actually ask it to do it. And it also allows you, in order to specify frame properties, that you want to be applied just at the time of capture. So for instance, let's say I want to have a 5,000 degree Kelvin white balance photo taken. Well, I can set that up inside of a capture sequence. I can tell the device, hey, I'm going to ask you to capture this, but I don't want you to do it quite right now. I just want you to be ready for it. And then when the user presses the shutter button, bam, you can go and you can capture that, and the system was in a state that was actually ready to do that. So, and many of the things that we do here are actually optimized for asynchronous UX, because we know that people who build photo apps are actually very interested in having a fluid user experience, about having the user not have to wait for anything, or that the UI keeps moving. So we've really optimized this to be asynchronous whenever possible. So if you want to capture a picture, there's really these steps that are on the right-hand side, and I'll walk through this in code just a minute. First is you open the device. The next is you create this capture sequence. You then specify what you want to be in it, essentially a recipe, if you will, into what we call desired properties. You prepare it, and this is kind of the heads up to the camera that, hey, we're going to ask for this in a bit. You then capture with start capture async, and then the application is signaled back when the capture is complete. You can then take a stream that comes out, it's a JPEG stream coming out of this camera capture frame dot capture stream, and then you can do what you want with it, and eventually you can save that off to save picture to camera roll in media library, which is the same API that existed before. So at this point, I'd actually like to jump into a coding example and show how the application that I just kind of had the framework for before actually can go and can capture a photo with some specific properties applied to that pipeline. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go into my main page XAML CS, and I've basically put a little bit of code in here to start that says I'm going to check and make sure that there's actually the camera exists on this phone, which is a good check, and that's going to call this load camera. And so I'm going to start right here. The only thing I've really done is put in a line here that asks for what resolutions are supported on this device. And also note that I've created a photocam, or it's a photo capture device object here inside of the class, so I can use it across multiple methods. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to open up the camera. So I'll say photocam is equal to, and I'm going to do this very synchronously here. You obviously would want to do this in a more asynchronous nature in a real application. And when you open up a camera, you specify which camera location you want, so camera sensor location dot back. And then I'm just going to pick one of these resolutions from the list that came back. Not really going to care for this example as to which one that I want to have. Let's pick the first one. The next thing I will do is I'm going to set a property on the pipeline. So, and this is a property that's not necessarily associated with any individual capture. It's just a general setting that I want to have. So in this case, I'm going to say, well, maybe I'd like to have I want to have the camera sound play when I hit the shutter button. So I'll set that, and you'll use this form of saying what the property is and then specifying its value. Here, I'd like that to be true. And essentially, my camera is set up at that point. I would also, though, like to go in and say that I want to take the viewfinder brush, that was that object that I associated earlier with the canvas on the screen, and I want to set the source on that. And I'm going to use PhotoCam for this. Now, if you've worked with the 7.5 APIs, this notion of setting a source on a viewfinder brush is actually a familiar concept. So we've just extended that into these new APIs. And essentially, that's enough in order to get the viewfinder up on the screen. But we want to take a photo here. So I'm going to scroll down here, and I'm going to add some code here to this little take photo method that I've added. And as I said, the key things that I want to do are open the device. I've done that. And then I'm going to create one of these capture sequences. I'm going to specify what it does. I'm going to prepare the system for that. I'm then going to capture with it. And then I can do whatever I want the resulting stream. So I'm going to create a camera capture sequence here. I'm just going to call this capture seek. And I'm going to say that I want to build this from the PhotoCam device that I've already opened, and I want to create a capture sequence. The next thing I want to do is I want to set some desired properties on this. So I want to set that on the frame data that we have here. So I'll say capture seek.frame. And I will set the desired property on that to be this time we're going to go with photo properties, so I'll say known photo properties. And let's say I want it to be a little overexposed, and I want it to have high white balance. So exposure compensation, and that's going to be 12. Now, these are measured in 1/6 of an EV, so this is essentially plus 2 EV. And I'll also go in here, and I'll say that I want to set the white balance as well. So this line's going to look essentially the same, except it will be manual white balance. Because we also have white balance modes like a sunny day or a fluorescent light bulb. Now, I'm just picking these values because I know that the phone that I have supports them. If this was real code, please check and make sure that these are actually supported values. So the next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to open up a memory stream so I can get the image data out of this. So I will say image stream, and I will set that equal to a new memory stream. And basically what I do is I just say that I want to associate that capture sequence frame data with And there's a capture stream here. There's also a thumbnail stream that you can get out of it. So if you want, for UX purposes, if you just want a smaller image to use for maybe a gallery or to show up on the screen real quick, you just have to grab the thumbnail stream here as well. But I'll say capture stream, and I will say that I want to take that image stream, and I specifically want to use the as output stream from it. So now I've specified, next thing I need to do is to tell the system to get into a ready state. Again, I'll do this synchronously, but it doesn't have to be. And I will say prepare capture sequence async, and I will say that I want to prepare that photo device with the capture sequence that I just generated. And finally, I mean, at this point, we're all set up. So at this point, the user had pressed the shutter button, so I will just go ahead and say start capture async. And bam, I'm done. I've already written some code here that goes in and sets up a media library, creates a file name, and saves that off to the camera roll. So that's kind of the last step of it. It's a little more similar to what we had before. Now, I've kind of contradicted myself to some degree, because what I said is that when you create a capture sequence, what you really want to do is to create that in advance so that the system is in a ready state. And here, I've actually waited for the user to press the shutter button before creating it. So in a real application, what you'd like to do is to create that capture sequence, to get all the way up here to the prepare capture sequence async, call that, and you can do that right up at the beginning of your application, and then just fire off this start capture async command, and then you are good to go, because that will actually trigger the capture of that capture sequence that is loaded and all set up and all the buffers and all that. It's all configured to be really fast from that point forward. So just to kind of show you what this all looks like, I will pull my phone back up here on the screen, and I will start up the camera. And I will pull up the lens picker. And you'll see that we have this build lens in here. And there we go. So this is the application with the code that I just showed you. And it takes a picture. And if you heard it, it made a little sound. And essentially, that piece of media, if I go into my camera roll here, there it is, captured by build lens. So those are all the pieces you need in order to put together one of these applications. Now, this lens that I built actually doesn't conform to all the requirements that we set forth in this UX guidelines doc. And that's actually something that I encourage you to do, is to follow those guidelines. So we've actually made it easy in order to go and do that. So I know just from looking at the counter online that some of you have already discovered that we have a project up on MSDN called Sample Lens that actually is a framework for getting started on doing all of these things. So what I can do is I can go into the code I just wrote. I'm just going to grab these two frames for configuration. I'm going to jump over to this is the sample code that's up on MSDN right now. And I'm going to drop these two lines of camera configuration into this prepare camera capture sequence in the camera controller file. I'm going to make a quick little change here to use the way this works. And bam, that's really all I have to do in order to get essentially that functionality into this sample lens that we have. And I can go into my phone now, pull this back up. And I'll actually just show you the other entry point that you get for these, which is you can still get at your applications from the app list in addition to the lens picker. And you'll see that we have the application working here. And if all is well, you'll see that I take a picture, and it gives you the animation. The buttons are there, the assets. So this is really a great starting place for building an application. So let me jump back to the presentation here now. So the only other part of the APIs that I wanted to touch on today were working with video. And there's a lot of words on this slide. But really, at the end of the day, it's about what if you want to build an augmented reality application? What if you want to grab frames as they're coming in and to do something with them, to recognize them, to apply them to a texture, to give the user a unique experience that goes even beyond the viewfinder as we have today, a very live experience. So we have Git Preview Buffer ARGB, Y, and YCBCR methods that you can call. If you use YCBCR, this comes back as NV12 data. If you really are interested in every frame as it comes in, that you can sign up and receive notifications with preview frame available, so you can really just keep up with the incoming stream. And you can also get at this through native code with those other APIs that I showed. We have this audio video capture device as well, which allows you to access encoded data coming off of the camera. This is H.264 video with AAC audio in an MP4 container. So you can think about how you might want to use that. And that there's a whole set of APIs for working with this data, and they're in that known camera audio-video properties, and many of them have to do with setting up H.264. One of the things that we received feedback on in previous APIs was that there was no direct control of the video torch. There's obviously a type of application that's very interested in getting at the video torch. So we now have direct access to that using the APIs. Thank you. Last thing is on the slide that there are also native APIs for working with the AV streams. So that's the API. The last section here is about sharing and editing using the camera. And we're going to go back to my friend wm@manifest.xml because it's all, again, tied in with this piece. You have an ability to register your application. So first of all, this is an image from the camera roll. So just you're going through the device camera roll, you look at a picture, and you click on the three dots, you get this menu. Share is extensible, so if your application wants to be a share destination that reads JPEGs, you can do that, and you register for that, and you'll receive a token, much like we're doing with the Rich Media Point. We've talked about Rich Media in detail today. We have an edit menu, which is very task-driven now. It's like, I want to edit this photo, and your application can register to be in the list of applications you get from this, and these are essentially JPEG editors. We will have this apps... hanging around. This is for legacy applications from 7.5 and before. So please do not use this in applications going forward, but you will still see it in the menu. Also exciting is that the idea of sharing media from with inside of an application is obviously something we want to do. And we thought it would be nice if you could share using the same list of share options that the operating system gives you in the camera roll for any piece of media from your application. So we've made a task now that says, I want to share this piece of media, and it'll pull up that same list with Facebook and messaging and so on, and that you can share media directly from your application now and not have to write code to do that. The only thing that we do ask for that is that the piece of media that you want to share has been written into the device camera roll so that we can access it. Another thing is auto-upload background agents. This is designed so that if you have a cloud service that you want to have every piece of media that the user captures, like photos coming in, uploaded into the cloud, that you can build an agent that does this so that when your phone is plugged in at night and you've got high-speed Wi-Fi, it'll kick in. It's a resource-intensive task. And you can essentially implement your cloud service in the background. So this is a special type of resource-intensive task that can run indefinitely. So if you are a photo auto-upload background agent. The extensibility point for this, in addition to that, is that we want your application to appear in our settings menu so that the user has a central place in order to manage all of the auto-uploaders on the device. So they can go in, they can see, oh, I have these three, they've all registered for this particular photo's auto-upload extension, and that there is a common point in order to go into their settings configuration screen. Just like before, there is a clue in the deep link URI as to that's the entry point that the user came from, so you know to go directly to the configuration screen to turn that feature on and off or to add additional options. So for resources outside of this presentation, I encourage you to take a look at MSDN. There's quite a bit of documentation about not just the APIs, but also on this new lens model about how all these pieces fit together. Of course, those UX guidelines that I talked about, there's plenty of pieces there that you can take a look at and hopefully get inspired. The sample code section has this basic lens example that I showed before. And when you swipe over to the left, I didn't show it in the example, but it does have a media viewer component that allows you to swipe through images that you took with that lens. And that's actually something that if you want to, it's inside of that sample code, but you could actually use that independently because there's a lot of functionality built into that in an extensible manner. So even if you don't need the rest of it, I encourage you to take a look at the media viewer inside of that. The last thing is that emulator-based development. The camera is a very hardware-dependent thing, and we actually encourage that when you're thinking about developing for the camera that you do development primarily on the actual device. We do have emulator support, but it doesn't implement all of the APIs that we have. So it's not going to give you a full experience when you do that. So I encourage you, you know, we had phones the other day as part of build, and I encourage you to use those in order to develop lenses. So with that, I really just want to close with my thought about the opportunity that is presented by this new lens model. I think it makes sense for photo apps. I mean, obviously, we're going to think about photo apps we know and what they might look like as lenses. But I encourage you to go one step further and think about this new rich media option and the linking between the camera roll and the lens itself and what you can do. And I think, as I said, Photosynth is a great example of the new type of user experience that is now possible. And that users, if we're all successful, are going to be looking to the store for lenses that allow them to continually evolve the functionality that's available for their camera. So it's not going to be just the camera they got on the day that they bought their phone, but it's actually going to be something that evolves through the life of that phone as new and interesting lenses and applications of rich media become available. So with that, I thank you for your time, and I'll now take some questions. That has to be a lens from that view.
Can I somehow link a lens to an
application? I'm sorry?
Can I somehow link a lens to an application?
Well, lenses are applications.
Well, I'm just thinking for one integrated app that happens to have quoted functionality that I can access directly. In this instance that we're talking about, I'd have to have two apps. I'd have to have a lens app and an app.
So let me just repeat the question for folks in the room here and make sure I have this right. Is that you want to have, I mean, you're worried that you're going to have two separate applications in order to have like the lens functionality and the normal app functionality. And basically, because lenses are apps themselves, that shouldn't be a problem, because what you do is you make the main URI entry point into your application do what it's been doing up until this point, and then you just link the lens viewfinder entry point to launch with the URI mapper into a different place, and it should work just fine. Because it does appear in the app list as well as the lens picker. These are real apps. Yes, it is.
Okay.
I mean, I can't speak specifically to what you're thinking about. The question is, should augmented reality applications register themselves for as lenses? And my response to that is, if if the augmented reality experience has a viewfinder for a main interaction screen, then definitely it makes sense. These particular APIs?
Yeah.
These are going to be phone-specific APIs.
Do you know anything about Windows 8 side, or is it entirely different?
These are not available on Windows 8 at this time. Any other questions? Oh, yes. That's a great question. The question is, if you build an auto-upload app, do you get a notification of some sort to know that, hey, you should go upload something? I can follow up on that for you. I actually don't know that one offhand, but I'm almost certain that the answer to it is going to be that because these are designed to run in plugged-in and Wi-Fi-based situations, that the out-in-the-field capture is not actually one of the scenarios that it's optimized for. So if you were, let's say, in a Wi-Fi tethered environment where you had a power cable plugged in, then I'm not sure what you would actually do for that, but I do not believe there is a notification agent for that. I don't know, but I mean right now it is front and back in that.
So it's a fixed set.
Yeah, it's a fixed set right now. Anything else? Well, thank you. Have a good day.